ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तम् महेश्वरो भ्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. So, we are in the second verse. Before we go there, Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotra Matho Balam Indriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranamastu Anirakaranam Me Astu Tadatmani Nirateya Upanishatsu Dharmas Te Mai Santo Te Mai Santo Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso mano yat vachoha vacham savu pranasya pranaha chakshushas chakshuh atimuchya dhiraha pretyasman lokat Amrita Bhavanti. So we saw last class, the student wanted the teacher to give him the clear definition of the intelligent, the effulgent principle, which, because of whose presence, all the inert anatma aspects operate and function. And the teacher said he cannot give a better answer than the answer is given, because atma is not something which is distant. Even though atma is distinct, the devaha, the effulgent principle, the atma is distinct from the anatma, but still not distant from the anatma. And atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, atma by its mere presence, mere presence itself becomes the cause for the activation of the anatma aspects. And then atma being not distant from the anatma, though it is distinct, atma is of the nature of actionlessness, therefore atma cannot be distinctly defined, distinguishing features such as the Lavita, the woodcutter, the harvester, who operates the instrument called sickle. Because he is involved in other activities also, he uses his will and he can involve in different activities also. When he does not operate the inert sickle, He is also involved in some other activities. Therefore, it is easy for showing the operator of the sickle different from the sickle, because he is also involved in other activities. And that is then the teacher said in the context. So that answer he gave. And second thing, the inert anatma is for the usefulness of the Atma, for the use of the Atma. Atma is not for the use of the Anatma. Like, just as the Atma, just as the one who owns the house, lives in the house, is actually making use of the house, and the house is for his purpose, for his use. He is not living in the house for the purpose, for the sake of the house. Therefore, Atma, like Atma, is distinct but not distant. Therefore, Anatma is always meant for the use of this Atma, not for the Anatma. That point he mentioned, an Atma being such, he cannot give a better answer than this, such as Chakshushaha, Chakshuhu, Pranasya, Pranaha, etc. he gave. And he also mentioned, that means, then the student again asked, what exactly is the meaning of the word? You have used Pranasya, Pranaha, Shrotrasya, Shrotram, etc. I have said, teacher, but I can understand the meaning of one word, Shrotram, Shrotram, Pranaha, Chakshuhu, etc. But what exactly you mean by those, the next term? Pranasya Pranaha means, what is the meaning of the word other Pranaha? You say Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, what is the meaning of the word Chakshuhu? Other second Chakshuhu, isn't it? Eye of the eye means, I can understand one eye. What does the word other eye mean? What does the other word ear mean? Because you have used everywhere two words, isn't it? So what does the second word mean? Okay, second word in every sentence, mean. This is question. And he said, okay, listen, let me tell you. Then the teacher went on explaining. The second word meant Atma. Second word, he defined that second word as what now? Consciousness. The meaning of the second word is consciousness. For consciousness is the Atma. The person who asked the question, the student, who he already knew, there is an effulgent conscious principle, Devaha, which is the self. He knows that. But what he did not know was what that self is, what that conscious principle is. That's what he wanted to, he asked. Therefore, now the teacher said, that word, the second word, Pranasya Pranaha, the Prana in the second, the Pranasya Pranaha, Chakshuhu in Chakshushaha, Chakshuhu, Manasaha Manaha, Manaha in the Manaha, that second word of each sentence, okay, actually means the consciousness Chaitanyam. Your consciousness is the Atma. Okay? He gave that, now the answer has been given. Shrotram is equal to consciousness. Okay, for consciousness is the self, Atma. Is it, that means consciousness is the Atma means, what does it mean? Atma is not the Anatma. What is Anatma here? Not anything external to the body, not the physical body, not the subtle body, not even the causal body. Okay, he also negated by giving that answer. Even though already the student knows, he made it very clear. Why he has to give that answer, I'll tell you. That's a different thing. We'll let us read this particular. We were reading last class. See, actually, Atma does not do any action because Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. We know this. And how does Atma activates the sense organs? By its mere presence. By its mere presence. That means, so that what do you say now? If the Atma is not there, okay, then the function, the ear cannot be the ear. I cannot be the I. The I is called I because it is capable of seeing. The ear is called ear because it is capable of hearing. Isn't it? So whatever is, see, because of the I-ness, I is called I because of the I-ness. No? Shrotratvam, netratvam. When you say I-ness means what? The being capable of doing something. Isn't it called? Now, When you say prakashakatvam, when you say prakashaha means light, prakashakatvam means what now? Being capable of illumining. Isn't it illumining? So now when you say mic means, why the mic is called mic? Because it has micness. What does mean micness means what? The mic, the being capable of doing the given job, a given function. Being capable of doing something specifically is called what? No, that-ness. Okay. Therefore, that, like that, we can say chakshu, we say, can say in that chakshuhu netratvam, shrotratvam, like that-ness. Now, ness means what? No, that status of being. The status of being the I has the status of being the I. Ear has the status of being the ear. Nose has the status of being the nose. No, everything has its status of being what it is because of the mere existence, mere presence of the Atma. If the Atma is not present, if Atma is not there, these all so-called Anatma aspects, all this mind, body, mind, complex, etc., all of them would not have enjoyed the status of what they are. So what is that which lends the very status of being what they are is the Atma. How? By what does it do? Just by its mere presence, not by action. Therefore, he says, that which lends the status of being what it is also said to be what now? That of that. I of the I means that which lends the I, the status of being the I, is said to be what now? I of the I. That which lends the status of being the ear to the ear is what? Ear of the ear. That which lends the status of being the mind to the mind is what now? Mind of the mind. Therefore, what is that which lends like that status is consciousness. Therefore, I use the word I of the I, etc. That second word in every sentence, okay, shrotrasya shrotram, etc. The second word implies consciousness, which lends the status of being what it is. That's the answer he gave last class. Remember that. And then, when the question of what, that consciousness, he used some words to define consciousness. Okay? What that we see from there? And then I said, what is that? The chaitanyam, you have to say, tacha. Swavishaya. Vyanjana samarthyam. Shrotrasya. So, the Shrotrasya Svavishaya Vyanjana Samarthya means the capability of the ear of revealing its object. Okay, the capability of revealing its own respective object on the part of the ear is due to what now? Consciousness. The presence of consciousness. So what first would you use there? What word does he use? Chaitanya. Chaitanyam, so all in locative case, I want to understand this nominative, okay? Chaitanyam, consciousness. And what is this consciousness? Atma Jyotihi. Chaitanyam, Atma Jyotishi. He says, no, we have to say Atma Jyotihi. The light of self. Consciousness is the light of the self. And that this light, consciousness, the light of self, how do you say light of self? He's going to talk about later on us that one. Self, which is eternal, nityaha. Nityaha means what now? Consciousness never comes and goes. It doesn't have any change. It is eternal also. The chaitanyam is nityam. Atma, if you say, it should be used it as nityaha. Chaitanyam, when you say, it should be nityam. Therefore, chaitanyam, atma jyotihi, nityam. Okay, and important thing, what is that now? Asamhatam. Chaitanyam is asamhatam. Therefore, when he says this, okay, this one, consciousness, okay, consciousness alone lends the capability of illumining every sense organ, the capacity, capability to reveal its object. That's fine. But that consciousness is the self, Atma Jyotihi, light of self. Then he says, that is what now? It is eternal. Is always there. Always there. That means, and that consciousness is asamhatam. Asamhatam means what? Samhatam means anything which becomes an integral part of something is called samhatam. And which is not an integral part of anything. When you say it's not an integral part of anything, integral part of what? Atma is not an integral part of any composition, any composite, anything which is a composite thing. So physical body is a composite. Therefore, Atma is not an integral part of the physical body. Okay. It's a composite entity. Atma is not even the integral part of the sukshma shariram, which is also a composition of many aspects. You know that. And what about the karna shariram? Look at this, it's a very important thing. Karna shariram also is what? Karna shariram also is a composition of three gunas, three powers. What are they? Dravya shaktihi, kriya shaktihi, jnana shaktihi. When manifest, we call them gunas. Unmanifest, we call them what? Shaktis. Okay? Dravya shaktihi, kriya shaktihi, jnana shaktihi. Let us start with jnana shakti. Jnana shaktihi, kriya shaktihi, dravya shaktihi. So even karna shairam is a composition of these three shaktis. Therefore, it atma chaitanyam is not even the karna shariram. Look at this, this Upanishad way of presenting it. So asamhatam. Why karna shariram is samhatam? Sukhma shariram also is samhatam. Sthulam also is samhatam. Whereas atma is asamhatam. Asamhataha atma, chaitanyam is asamhataha. Okay, not only that, you have to know sarvantaram. Consciousness is sarva antaram, sarvesham antaram. Antaram means what now? It is the sarvantaram means innermost. There is nothing beyond consciousness. That means what? The external world is, from the standpoint of the external world, the body is interior. You were asking me last class. From the standpoint of the physical gross body, sukshma is interior. The standpoint of the sukshma, again, you can say karna shariram is interior. From the standpoint of karna shariram, consciousness is interior. Okay? The sarvantaraha. And after consciousness, what is interior? Nothing. Okay? The sarvantaraha. Is it, you know, sarvantaraha? Sarvantraha, Atma Sarvantram Chaitanyam. Therefore, this is what is consciousness. What is consciousness here? Chaitanyam. What is Chaitanyam here? Atma Jyotihi Nityam. Then Asamhatam Sarvantram. I had to remember these four words here. Okay? That is what is Chaitanyam. That which is Sarvantram, that which is Nityam, that which is Asamhatam, that which is Atma Jyotihi is consciousness. Consciousness, isn't it? He has defined consciousness as what now? Consciousness is the Atma, the self. What is the self here? That Deva, effulgent principle, you asked. That is effulgent principle is indicated by what? Every second word, Shrotrasya, Shrotram, etc. Then, I gave another meaning, what Swamiji tells here. The teacher does not give the answer directly, because if the teacher gave his answer initially as Chaitanyam, the student would not have thought of going step by step. Immediately he would have started searching for the meaning of the word Chaitanyam. Whenever you start searching for the meaning of a word, that what you search for becomes an object. To stop the student from looking at the Atma, the consciousness, as the object, the student teacher does not give direct answer, he gives indirect answer. When the question was asked, then he gave the direct answer. And how did he give the direct answer? And he hears his Atma Jyotishi Sarvantare. And Shankara gives the answer, not the student. Is it clear now? Okay. This much we have seen last class. And to support this answer, Shankara gives what now? He quotes from Kathopanishad, he quotes from Brihadaranyakopanishad, he quotes from the even Mundakopanishad, Kathopanishad, etc. And we also know Natatra Suryo, Bhati, lots of things he gives. And he also quoted from Smritihi, that is Bhagavad Gita. Remember that? He quotes from many Katha, Taittiriya, not Kathaitriya, sorry, Katha, Bhadaranyaka, and Bhagavad Gita. He quoted many Shrutis, Shruti quotations he gave, Smriti quotations also he gave. For what? To make it very clear. This is what even these verses, these mantras in different Upanishads mean. Okay? It's not for the students, for us to understand. It's another way of dwelling upon the same thing. Okay, so this much he said. So for which he quoted so many things. Tathacha. Okay, no. Thereafter he said, therefore my answer is correct, proper. Perfectly correct answer I have given my student. Don't ever ask me any questions like this. Tathacha. He doesn't say, don't ask. He said, my answer is appropriate. Tathacha. Shrutyantarani. Atmanayeva. Ayam. Jyotishaha. Sorry. Jyotishaste. Tasya bhasa. Sarvamidam vibhati. Yena suryaha tapati. Tejaseddha. Ityadini means what? All these are Shruti quotations. Shankara presents. For what? To say consciousness being the Atma. Consciousness being the Atma, because of the presence of which alone, all these Anatma aspects function. To say that, he quotes other things. And he also quoted Bhagavad Gita and also quoted from other Kathopanishad. Yada dityagatam tejo jagadbhasaya tekhilam yachandramasi yachagno tat tejo vidhimamakam. I'm just going ahead for kshetram kshetrita krishnam prakashayati bharata ityadi gitasu. He also quotes these sentences from Bhagavad Gita. Not a katakecha, also in Kathopanishad. Nityaha anityanam chetanaha chetananam iti. Therefore, like this, he quoted many quotations. Having quoted all of them from different Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, and here Shankara says, what now? Therefore, Shrotradyeva, Sarvasya.
Sarvasya
Atmabhutam
Chetanam
Iti Prasiddham Tadiha Nivartyate. This is an important thing. I had to start from him here, I think. Therefore, Chetanam Iti Prasiddham. It is pure consciousness, because of which alone all these aspects function. Let's be very clear. That means why sometimes, even though we negate the physical body, Look at this. We negate the physical body as anatma. Because you know it's samhatam. It is jadam. It has jadatvam. It has samhatatvam. It has bhautikatvam. It has savikaryatvam. Now agama, payatvam. Like it has many these attributes to prove that it is not atma. It is not consciousness. Isn't it? But what happens sometimes? People still have problem. What about this sukshma? It is possible for them to think when the sukshma is there, especially prana, you know, when the subtle body is there, as people understand subtle body only with the help of the prana. If there is life, prana is there, then all of them function. How do you know? When the prana leaves the physical body, then the body becomes dead. Then no hearing, no seeing, etc. When you call a person, somebody dead, then nothing functions. No, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see, he doesn't speak. That means no organ functions. Body is like a wood. Why? Because the prana has left. Therefore, it is natural for them to think it is the sukshma shariram, because of which alone the physical body, everything functions. They do not think about the consciousness at all. That means what? For them, sukshma shariram becomes the self. In the presence of sukshma, stulam functions. They do not call it sukshma. Okay, they call it sukshma as what now? The self. Ud atma here now? What is atma? What is the self here? It is sukshma. It's a self. They don't go to even karanam. Okay? Because sukshma is, body is active. Sukshma goes, body becomes inactive. But it is the presence of sukshma which activates the organs, which activates everything. And not only that, that means what now? When the sukshma goes means, I travel. If sukshma becomes the self, then I am the self. Therefore, sukshma becomes what now? Self, sukshma becomes the self. In the sukshma travels means I travel. I have a journey. If sukshma has the body, I am bound. The sukshma goes out, I am free. I am still bound. Okay? Therefore, I am bound, that notion comes again. Then I have to attain moksha. What is moksha? Now I have moksha. Now I have, while living, I attain jivan moksha, mukti. So that after this body falls, what happens now? I have attained videha mukti. I should not come back and assume another body again. I should not come back and assume another sthula shariram. I want what? Videha mukti. After the, I want jivan mukti, then I want to attain videha mukti after the fall of the body. Because I am bound. These are all misconceptions. Understand now, these are all misconceptions. I am bound is a misconception. I need to attain mukti when I am in the body. Jivan mukti is a misconception. Initially is okay. And I have to attain videha mukti always what? Misconception. Why? Because all fallacy is involved. Why? Because consciousness, is it bound at all? When you say nityaha, is consciousness born at all? Even the consciousness has no first birth itself, where is the question of having taken a second birth? So this soon has to become very clear what now? Atma is not even the sukshma. Because of whose presence alone sthula shariram becomes active. The sthulam is active. Your understanding, you can relate to somebody being active only when the physical body is active. So the sthula shariram is active because of the presence of sukshma. Isn't it? Therefore, it is possible for one to think what? Sukshma being the self. Sukshma, you think, sukshma shariram is the self. And based on that, one can have all these notions also. That I am bound, Okay, and I have attained Jivan Mukti and I have attained Videha Mukti also. What is Videha Mukti? You know that, no? Not being born again after death, having this resolved is what? Videha Mukti. Having Sukshma resolved, not assuming another body is Videha Mukti. So I have to attain Videha Mukti. I have to attain Jivan Mukti. I am bound now. I have attained Moksha. Is it? These are all misconceptions. Why misconceptions? Because of one mistaking this sukshma for the self. Here what happens to understand? It is consciousness, pure consciousness is the self, which is eternal, nityaha, which means which has no birth, therefore which has no death. Therefore first birth itself not there, second birth is also impossible. There is no such thing called, therefore it is not born. I mean, where is the question of being bound then? If there is no birth, there is no death, and where is the question of being bound? Being born, living, dying, again being born is called bondage. This is consciousness born, therefore this consciousness is not born, now it doesn't die, therefore it's also what? No, there is no bondage for consciousness. Therefore, consciousness need not attain any moksha also. Consciousness is of the nature of nitya mokshaha, ever free. Okay? Nitya muktaha is consciousness. Atma is nitya muktaha, ever free. Never is Atma bound. Therefore, this also helps what now the answer? Understanding the fallacy of Atma being Atma being bound and attaining the Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti is also what now? Therefore, Atma is Nitya Muktaha. There is no Bandha for Atma. There is no freedom for the Atma. This understanding is what now? Real Moksha. What is Atma is Nitya Muktaha. This Atma does not need, Atma is not Bandha. Okay? Atma need not attain Jivan Mukti, cannot attain Jivan Mukti or Videha Mukti also. This understanding is called what? Real Mukti Mokshaha. Have you got it?
Thank you.
Okay. Therefore he says here, this context, Chetanam iti prasiddham. Because now what happens, now that doubt also here will go. Oh, Atma the self, consciousness is the principle. It is not the sukshma shariram. Atma is the sukshma. I am the Atma. I am the sukshma. Who is bound and who goes, who travels, who is born again, isn't it? That also what now? Therefore, that doubt also will go. What happened now? The consciousness is nitya muktaha. No, that because it's, what is prasiddham, you know, that also what nivartyate, that will also resolve. Have you ever thought like this? It's beautiful, isn't it? This is where the doubt comes with other cultures. They talk about the soul. May soul rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Consciousness is ever resting in peace, okay? It need not go and rest in peace. But we talk about the jiva. That also, we also talk about it, our hastas. But again, if you study, that means there's something distinct from this thula, which is sukshma travels. But we are interested in what now? Only the chaitanyam, which is actual self.
What exactly is prasiddham?
Prasiddham means it is well known. This notion of mistaking the sukshma for the Atma and thinking Atma is bound and thinking Atma, you know, attaining Jivan Mukti, thinking Atma is going to attain Videha Mukti, these are all misconceptions. It is very well known. Though that also what now? Becomes negated. That also goes nivartyate. One becomes, that doubt also becomes cleared. Therefore, asti kimapi, vidvad buddhi gamyam sarvantaratamam kutastam ajam ajaram amritam abhayam shrotradehe api shrotradi tat samarthya nimittam iti prativachanam shabdarthah cha upapadyate eva. Therefore asti kimapi vidvad buddhi gamyam. Therefore there is something, what is that? There is consciousness. Kimapi asti something, what is it? What is that? Which is consciousness. And what is it, consciousness? Vidvad buddhi gamyam. Vidvad buddhi gamyam means what now? It is recognizable, understandable for the person. You know, vidvad buddhi gamyam. It becomes understandable for the one who clearly thinks. Vidvad buddhi gamyam. Vidvad buddhi gamyam. Then sarvantara tamam. Understandable. What of sarvantara tamam means? The innermost. Sarvantara we have already understood. He is using the sarvantara tama. Sarvantara, sarvantara tama, tara. Sarvantara tama means superlative degree. So sarvantara, innermost. Inner, understand? Again, more inner, the most inner. The innermost, when you say sarvantara tama. Therefore, it also negates what? Even the karna shariram. Not only it negates the sukshma shariram, it also negates the karna shariram. It means pure consciousness, which is nityamuktaha, sarvantratamam. He is now kutastham. Kutastham means what? It is eternal. When you say kutastham, sarvantratamam, sarvantratamaha atma is the kutastaha. Kutastaha means what? Absolutely, it doesn't undergo any change or whatsoever. Means what? It has no beginning, no end, therefore it is kutastaha. Kutastaha implies absolutely eternal. Okay, it doesn't undergo any change. It becomes the adhara for everything. That's the kuta. Kutastha. And then kutastham, ajam, unborn, ajaram, not object to any changes or decay, etc. Amritam, absolutely immortal. Amritam, abhayam. Absolutely secure. Atma is the secure thing. Anatma is what now? Anatma is never secure. Atma is the secure. Abhayam, you know, free from all thoughts and fear, etc. Abhayam. That consciousness alone, shrotradehe, apishrotradi. That consciousness is ear of the ear, mind of the mind, etc. And he says, tat samarthya nimittam. Why do you say shrotradehe shrotradi? Samarthya, that becomes the efficient cause, because of which alone all of them function. Tat samarthya nimittam. The capability, atma is the cause for the capability of every sense organ. Nimittam iti, therefore, prativachanam shabdarthascha upapadyate eva. Therefore, by my answer, shabdarthah, by this answer, shabdarthah, the meaning of the word becomes very clear. Upapadyate eva. Is it clear now? I'm asking you, is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. Tatha. Now he goes to the next. That topic is over. Now he goes next one. Tatha. Manasaha. Antahkaranasya. Manaha. Therefore, similarly, now he says what now? Similarly, Atma, that consciousness, the Atma, the self, is what now? Mind of the mind. Mind of the mind means what now? He wants to say, don't take simply the emotional aspect of the mind. antahkaranasya. Antahkaranam means what now? Manaha, buddhi, chittam, ahankaraha. Atma is the mind of the mind, intellect of the intellect, ego of the ego. Okay, self of this. Atma is that, he wants to say that. That means the mind has the capability of, whatever mind is capable of doing, the knowing, understanding, feeling, no, even the being sorrowful, etc., all these are possible because of the consciousness only. The mind is capable of functioning as the mind because of the consciousness only. Therefore, consciousness, Atma, can be said to be what? Mind of the mind also. Nahi, antahkaranam, antarena, chaitanya jyotisha, deepitam, swavishaya, sankalpa, adhyavasayadi, samartham syat. Okay. He says, nahi antahkaranam antarena chaitanya jyotisha. Antarena means without. Vina. In Sanskrit we have the word vina. Do you remember the vina? Like that, chaitanya jyotisha antarena. So, chaitanya jyotisha antarena. Now he's explaining. Chaitanya jyotisha antarena. Richard, are you following?
Yeah.
Okay. Chaitanya jyotisha antarena. Without the light of consciousness, antahkaranam deepitam na. Okay. Antahkaranam deepitam. Okay. A mind cannot be illumined. Mind cannot be illuminated. Mind does not become illuminated. Na deepitam bhavati. The Atma Jyotisha antarena, without the light of consciousness, antahkarnam na deepitam. Light, mind cannot be illuminated. That means what? Deepitam. Svavishaya sankalpa adhyavasayadi samartham nasyat. So what happens, these minds, svavishaya, svavishaya means what? Now what is the function of the mind? Sankalpaha, thinking, okay, feeling, knowing. Adhyavasayaha means what? Now ascertaining. Adhyavasayaha, understanding, etc. Adi samartham nasyat. Mind would not have been able to do its own functions of knowing, feeling, understanding, thinking, etc., wouldn't have been capable of doing all, etc., if it is not backed by the light of consciousness. Therefore, what now? Atma can be, consciousness is the Atma, and Atma is what? Consciousness is the mind of the mind. Tasmat manasahapi manaha iti. Manaha, therefore, Atma is said to be what now? Atma, the consciousness, is said to be the mind of the mind. Iha buddhi manasi eki kritya nirdeshaha manasaha iti. Shankara says, oh, the teacher is, because he used the word manasaha, manaha, mind of the mind, don't think, what about the intellect? What is the intellect of the intellect? You don't need to ask. It's understood. The mind, the word mind stands, means antahkaranam. Antahkaranam means in place what now? All the thoughts. Therefore, any thought of any thought is what? Atma only. So, buddhihi, manaha, both are indicated by the one word manaha. So, Atma is behind all different functions of antahkaranam. Is because of Atma only. Now that is over. Now we are going to entering into the new teaching today. Yad vachaha vacham Yat Chabdaha Yasmadarthe Yadi Vachaha Vacham. Therefore, what happened now? Vachaha Vacham. Vachaha Vacham is speech of the speech. Atma is the organ of speech of the organ of speech. The same meaning, you know. Why it is the organ of speech or the organ of speech? Because of which alone organ of speech is organ of speech. Simple meaning. But here, he enters a different thing. Shrotradibhihi sarvaihi sambadhyate. Therefore, he says that you have to add what now? Rest of the, whatever is there in the next verse, all of them should be understood as how you understood shrotrasya, shrotram, etc. Okay. Yasmat shrotrasya, shrotram. Yasmat manasaha manaha ityevam vachaha ha. Okay. Before going to the next sentence, okay, similarly, now he says, you have to understand, when I said shrotrasya shrotram, the meaning of the word shrotram is consciousness when I explained. The same way you understand, if second word of everything, okay, means what? Corresponding second word of everything means the consciousness, the Atma. That finished. Now the student is going to ask something differently grammatical. Look at this. Vachaha vacham. Okay. Before going there, dvitiya pratamatvena viparinamyate pranasya pranaha iti darshanat. See, the student has to ask here. Okay? He says, shrotrasya shrotram. Now listen to me. Shrotrasya shrotram. Okay? Shrotrasya shrotram. See the whole thing now. Manasaha manaha. Vachaha vacham. Pranasya pranaha. Chakshushaha chakshuhu. When he said this, mind of the mind, ear of the ear, no, speech of the speech, prana of the prana, eye of the eye, etc. All the second words, you know, shrotram, manaha, pranaha, chakshuhu, all these words are in nominative case. The vacham alone is an objective case. It must have been what? It must have been actually, when all other words are in nominative case, the vacham alone is in objective case. So now, Upanishad sense it. Vacham, what is the nominative of vacham? Walk. Walk. Because, I will tell you these things, please bear with me. Walk is what? No, chakarantaha, strilingaha. Watch sabdaha, watch shabdaha, tasya shabdasya, prathama vibhaktau, walk ekavachane, walk iti rupam. Okay, walk, what no, chakaranta shabda. And what is the nominative? Walk. Watcham is what? Objective. So why this vachaha watcham? Isn't it? It must have been what? Vachaha vak. It should not have been vachaha vacham. Why is it in second case? Should we take it as a second case or the nominative case? The Shankara says, come on, what question is this? Even though it is in objective case, you should take it as what now? Nominative case only. Vachaha vacham should be taken as vachaha vak. Vachaha vak. Speech of the speech. Vachaha is possessive. Vak is the nominative. Is it clear now? It should be taken only as the nominative, not as the objective. Even though the Upanishad has this, the verse and the word is in an objective case, it should be taken as the nominative. So what he says here, Vachaha Vacham. Say no?
Vachaha Vacham.
Iti Dvitiya.
Iti
Dvitiya. So the word Vacham, in the Vachaha Vacham, the word Vacham, in the Vachaha Vacham sentence, is in the second case. Dvitiya Vibhaktau Asti. That Prathamatvena Viparinamyate. It is changed into, it has to be changed into Prathama, means nominative. Is it clear? Why? Then he himself gives the answer. Why the Vacham alone should be changed into nominative? Because Vacham alone is in the second objective case. Why it has been changed? Because the look at the following word. Pranasya pranaha. Pranasya pranaha. The following sentence, pranasya pranaha, there the prana is in the nominative case. Second prana is in the nominative case. Pranam, it's not there. Pranaha, nominative case. Therefore, it should be, because the pranasya of the following one, pranasya pranaha, the prana is in the nominative case, which means what? Atma, the consciousness. Then similarly, this also, vachaha vak also must be what now? The nominative case only, you should have taken as the vachaha vacham.
Yep.
Okay, he gives the answer. Vachaha.
Vachaha.
Ha. Vacham.
Vacham.
Iti.
Iti.
Yetad. Anurodhena.
Anurodhena.
Pranasya, pranam, iti, kasmat, dvitiyayeva, na kriyate. Rodney comes here saying objection. Simply just Rodney, okay. Okay. The student. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming. No. I said the one who objects in the class, okay? The objection, the person... No, just a second. No. Then the Purupakshi. Purupakshi comes. One who says something, okay?
Somebody, I'm normally not the Purupakshi at all, ever.
Okay.
And it's obvious that it's...
just a joke. No, even Adiji is not a Purupakshi.
Understand is why it was written down like that. That's all I can't understand. I mean, it's obvious to me it's in speech of speech, obviously. But I can't understand why it's...
I tell you one thing. The Bhashyam study, the Moolam study itself, the study of the original text itself will give you clarity. The Bhashyam study, actually already you must have understood what actually the original text conveys.
Yeah.
The Bhashyam study really makes it enhances the intellectual capacity.
Yeah.
Thereby what happens, in fact, the more and more you understand, the thinking becomes refined. Now, communication becomes refined. The more you study Bhashyam, you become very precise in thinking, you become very precise in communications. And what happens, one thing, the more you become precise, and as you get your thinking and communication refined, and sometimes others become really bitter in the bush, and you get very irritated. Therefore, it's also simultaneously important to develop some tolerance. Also, mainly, that is why. See, it's all small things. See, Upanishad uses. We never question. In Moolam class, I would have said what? You should not question why Upanishad says Vachaha Vacham.
Yeah.
Why Upanishad does not say Vachaha Vak, Chandasam. Just go ahead. But you understand, this is the meaning. Sampradaya tells you understand, go ahead. But here, Shankara imagines a student coming and asking like this, Why vachaha vacham? Vacham is it in alone, is in second case, and we should take it as second case meaning or the nominative case meaning? Come on, take it as a nominative case meaning. Okay, take it as a nominative case. What is nominative case? Vachaha walk. Walk is the correct expression. So take it as vachaha walk. So viparinamyate prathama dvitiya prathamatvena viparinamyate. You take it as what now? Nominative sense only. Then this, why? No, why? Because you follow. You see the following word pranasya pranaha. There it is not pranam. It's only pranaha. Therefore, we should take it as what now? Seeing in keeping with the word which is following, you understand. There the word atma, the word prana which means atma is in nominative case. So this also must be in what now? Nominative case only. Then the student is asking, why not we convert the pranasya prana, pranam? Why should we not convert the following prana into a objective case? When vachaha vacham, you want me to convert the vacham into vak, nominative case, fine. Why should we not we convert the pranasya pranaha, the prana in nominative case into objective case? Why should we say pranasya pranaha? Why can't we say pranasya pranam? Why can't we take this in a nominative objective case? Instead of converting the vacham into vak as nominative, why can't we convert the pranaha into pranam into objective case? Then the teacher wants to give like this. So he says, come on.
But Swamiji, sorry. In ordinary Sanskrit, what it would be nominative anyway, wouldn't it?
Which one?
Pranasya. If you're saying an ordinary sentence,
yeah, of course it would
be nominative anyway. Pranasya prana.
Yeah, pranasya prana, nominative. It is nominative only.
Anyway, so why was this fellow suddenly trying to change it into...
No, because vachaha vacham. Because in Upanishad Moolam...
Yeah, but vacham is...
Not
even ordinary Sanskrit, is it?
No. Vacham is the correct word, but vacham is in the objective case. See, the second word of every sentence, shrotra says shrotram. There shrotram is nominative.
Yeah.
Vachaha vacham. The vacham is objective.
Yeah.
Not nominative. It should be in the nominative.
Yeah.
Therefore, the Shankara says, how should we take the meaning? All other words are in nominative. So how should take the vacham alone as the objective? Then what meaning should I take? The Shankara says, when all other words are in nominative, only vacham is an objective, so just convert it into nominative. Finished. The meaning becomes very clear. Then the student is asking, and he gives example. Shankara says, see the following, pranasya pranaha, atma is the prana of the prana, when you say, pranaha is in nominative. Similarly, this also must be in nominative. But here the Upanishad uses the term vacham is an objective case. Take it as nominative, he says. But the student is asking now, you say vacham should be taken as a vak in nominative sense. Why should I not convert this pranaha into objective? Pranam.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be grammatically wrong anyway?
That is where I'm coming. No. He's simply asking, why can't I... Upanishad says, vachasya vak. Vachasya vacham. Why should we not convert this? That's what I'm saying. He's asking. And here... Wait for me to finish. We don't need to go into that. What the teacher says, just see what the teacher says. See, any student is asking, instead of changing this into nominative case, why can't we change other sentence in nominative into the objective? Maybe I'm making some changes. Okay, that's the thing.
But wouldn't it be ungrammatical is what I'm saying?
Coming to the point.
No, but I'm just trying to understand why this Purvapakshi normally asks sensible questions. But over here he's asking a question which would make it ungrammatical, wouldn't it?
So, the Shankara says, na. See, why Purupakshi is asking this question is a different thing. Purupakshi is there. Somebody may be there asking such question. Okay? Somebody can ask such question. See, we are not Purupakshis. We are not Purupakshis. Okay? The Purupakshi
wants to know, why is it put in the objective case when the rest are in non-objective? Why is it?
That is what the student is asking. That's why Shankara says, come on, it is there.
I'm not asking that. Okay. Why is the Upanishad writing it in the objective case in the first place?
That is what I'm saying. When Upanishad says, how we should take it. Yeah. That's what Shankara says, take it in the nominative. We never question Upanishad. How you should take it. Take it in the nominative. And the student comes to ask now, why he, this, instead of converting this into nominative, why can't we convert the following into objective? And Shankara says, nah, it is not possible. Why he says, nah? Bahunam, say no?
Bahunam.
Anurodhasya.
Anurodhasya.
Yuktatvat.
Yuktatvat.
Vacham ityasya.
Vacham ityasya.
Vak.
Vak.
Iti.
Iti.
Yetavad. Vaktavyam.
Vaktavyam.
He says, Bahunam anurodhasya yuktatvat. No, if you see the meaning of all the words, okay, or in keeping with the more number of words, bahunam yuktatvat, anurodhasi yuktatvat, there are so many words, all the other words used in the same meaning, context, given context, they're all in nominative case. Shrotram is nominative. Manaha is nominative, pranaha is nominative, chakshuhu is nominative. Only vacham alone is an objective. Therefore, what should you know? The majority should be taken as the right. Most of all other words happen to be in nominative. This one word alone happens to be in objective. The one word also should be taken what now? Always majority should win, minority is the loser, isn't it? Therefore, here it says what now? This one word should be taken into nominative. You should not try to convert other words into objective. First reason he gives. Thereafter, you have to understand, we are coming to the point now. In Sanskritam, we have what now? Uddeshyam. Say now?
Uddeshyam.
Anuvadyam.
Anuvadyam.
Vidheyam. See, anuvadyam or uddesham, when you say subject. Vidheya means predicate. Vidheyam is what? Predicate. In a sentence, when you say Bharataha Ramasya Anujaha. Bharataha Ramasya Anujaha. Bharataha is what? No, subject. Ramasya Anujaha is the
predicate.
Isn't it? So the student, suppose somebody asks this question. Kaha Ramasya Anujaha? Kaha Ramasya Anujaha? Who is Rama's younger brother? Immediate younger brother. Somebody asks, and how should you give the answer? How should you give the answer?
Bharataha
Ramasya Anujaha or Ramasya Anujaha Bharataha. Which should be the answer? Both are correct. Bharataha Ramasya Anujaha also is correct. Ramasya Anujaha Bharataha also is correct. But what is more correct? Okay? Always, when the student is asking this question, kaha Ramasya Anujaha, Ramasya Anujaha is already in the question. That is already known. Is it that matter is already known to the one who asks this question. So what is known alone, the known matter alone should come as the subject. That is the more correct thing. Okay, the new information which is given should be the predicate. That is what is correct in grammar, Sanskrit grammar. Okay, the known thing should be, even though it is correct, you can say Rama is, Bharata is Rama's younger brother. Still, when you give the answer, instead of giving Bharata is Rama's younger brother, the younger brother of Rama is Bharataha, is the more correct answer. Why? What is subject there? The subject must be the known information. The predicate must be the new information. Is it clear now? So here also, and if the subject is in nominative case, predicate also must be in nominative case. Subject and predicate both must be in nominative case. So here he says what now? Vachaha vacham. When you say, this, you have to see the student's question. Kaha u devaha. Kaha devaha yunakti. Kaha u devaha. Now what is the question here? What is that intelligent, what is that conscious principle? What is that effulgent conscious principle? What is that effulgent being? Who is that effulgent being? Kaha devaha is the question. There is unknown part of the student. And unknown to the student. And what is the student's teacher's answer? That is unknown. Kaha devaha, okay, is what he does not know. And what is unknown, what is the answer for the kaha devaha? Pranasya pranaha. Kaha devaha, pranasya pranaha. Which is unknown. It's a new thing. Isn't it? Then, so this, the saha devaha, that devaha, the effulgent being, effulgent, the conscious principle, is pranasya pranaha, is the answer. So saha devaha is, must be what already known. It must be what a subject. What is the predicate? Pranasya pranaha, vachaha vak. So what is vachaha vak now? Predicate. So predicate must be in what? Nominative, in keeping with subject. Therefore, hey Sishya, you don't know a simple grammatical rule. Predicate must be in nominative if the subject is in because subject is in nominative. Why? Because, and then always, but that which comes as presented in the answer, even though you think Rama, Bharataha Ramasya Anujaha is a correct answer, it is always possible to get away with some answer, but the most appropriate answer is Ramasya Anujaha Bharataha. Ramasya Anujaha is the known information. Bharataha is the new information. The new information must come as predicate. A predicate must be in nominative. So my answer is unknown to you, Sishya. Okay, my answer is predicate and it must be in nominative case only. This is not for Atmajnanam, okay? This is all for waking you up. Bhashya study is always for precision in thinking and communication. So it's all refinement, you know, thinking and communication refinement. This much we goes there, okay? Therefore he says what now? Therefore vidheyam, actually speaking, because it's vachaha, isn't it? Vidheyat, because of its status of being, vidheyam means what? Vidheyam means predicate. Anuvakyam uddesha means subject. Because it is a predicate, he doesn't mention it, we have to understand here. Vidheyatvat, due to the status of being the predicate, it must be in what now? Prathama. It must be in nominative. It should not be in objective. So the vachaha vak is what? No, object or predicate? Predicate. So predicate must be in what? Nominative. Have you got it? Now he, that's why he says sahavu. Say no?
Sahavu.
Pranasya pranaha.
Pranasya pranaha.
Iti.
Iti.
Shabdadvaya.
Shabdadvaya.
Anurodhena.
Anurodhena.
For this one sentence I gave this explanation, okay? Saha devaha. Saha devaha is what now? Already known answer. Which is a subject. So pranasya pranaha is what now? Predicate. Sabdadvaya anurodhena. So one word must be in confirmative, predicate must be in confirmative with the subject. It must be in keeping with the subject. That means both must be what now? In nominative. Therefore, iti sabdadvaya anurodhena. Because of its, because they should go together, he says what now? It is in, now it should be taken, the nominative meaning only should be taken. Not the objective meaning.
Yeah.
Evam hi
bahunam
anurodhaha
yuktaha
kritaha syat. Therefore, what is it now? Because all other words are, all my answer, which is unknown to you, is what now? Is a predicate, a sentence. You are already what you know is what now? This subject. Therefore, they both must be in what? Nominative case. And all other words are in what? Nominative case. Therefore, the vakcham also should be taken as what? Vak. Vak ityetavadeva vaktavyam. It should be taken as the vak, not as the vacham. It should be understood to be in the nominative, not as the objective. Prishtam cha vastu. Prathamaya eva. Nirdeshtum yuktam. What I told you all them, I'm reading it now, okay? Prishtam cha vastu. The vastu, the substance which has been enquired by you, what you wanted to know, tvaya prishtam vastu. What you wanted to know, what is that principle? What you wanted to know, that means what you did not know, what is unknown to you, tvaya cha prishtam vastu. Prathamaya eva nirdeshtum yuktam. Prathamaya eva, it happens to be the predicate in a sentence. See, I have to add all those things in a sentence. It must be in what now? Nominative only. Prathamaya eva nirdeshtum yuktam. As I told you, the Purupakshis will be more in number from Kena Upanishad. Mundaka, Katha Upanishads do not have many Purupakshis. That is why the Bhashyam, standard of Bhashyam also, really it goes up from the Kena. It will go like this. Taittiriyam will be more like that. It will be like that. This is good to learn all these things. But in the very, very, very beautiful Purupakshas will be there, other Upanishads. Here, it's simple. You may think it's a simple thing. We ourselves know subject and predicate must be in nominative case. We know this very well. But what should be the subject? What should be the predicate? The known information must be the subject. The unknown must be the predicate. And my answer is something which is unknown to you. It is a predicate. So it is in nominative case. And all other words are what now? My answer, all other answers are in what now? Nominative. The teacher's answer is nominative only. Only one, this answer is an objective. So better take it as nominative. Or better, you should take it as nominative only. Have you got it, Richard ji?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And you're saying Swamiji is just the short answer would be chandasa. It's chandas, yeah? Yeah?
And then Moolam.
That's given.
Okay, we'll just finish it and then we will talk about it. Because we'll go out of the tablet also. Saha Yaha Tvaya Prishtaha Pranasya Pranakhya Vritti Visheshasya Pranaha Tatkritam He Pranasya Pranana Samarthyam. Okay. So with that, Prishtam cha vastu prathamaya eva nirdeshtam yuktam. Yuktam means it is appropriate to mention the predicate which has been enquired by you in nominative itself. Okay. My answer for your question, which is unknown to you, which you should be in the predicate, is a nominative case. It's appropriate. So he finished that. With that, the question is, answer is over. Now he goes to the next. The question has been asked, it's been answered. Now we'll go to the new one. Not a Purupaksha, just he explains. Shankara explains now. Yaha. Sorry. Saha. Yaha. Tvaya Prishtaha. Pranasya Pranakhya Vritti Visheshasya. See, he says Pranasya means Pranakhya Vritti Visheshasya. Pranakhya Vritti Visheshasya means what now? The meaning of the word Prana. Is it? Prana. And for the Prana, the physiological functions for this, Pranaha means what? Pranasya pranaha means tat kritam hi pranasya pranana samarthyam. It that which lends the capability for the prana to be the prana. Pranasya pranaha means what now? The next prana means atma, the consciousness, which lends the capability for the prana to be the prana. Pranasya Pranana Samarthyam. The function of all the functions of physiological functions are happening. What is that which lend prana the capability of these functions? Capacity to function as pranas. That is Atma. That Atma is consciousness, which is implied by the term Pranasya Pranaha. Pranasya means prana. Prana akhya vritti visheshaha means what now? What do you mean by the word prana? All physiological functions. And how are they happening? How are they happening? Richard, is it too light, bright for you?
It's fine, I can see it.
Okay.
For
me it's okay, but we'll next class we'll go that side. Therefore, pranasya pranana samarthyam. See, pranasya pranana samarthyam. The prana is capable of functioning as prana because of that, and that is called what now? Pranasya pranaha. Prana of the prana. Na.
Na.
Nahi.
Na.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Anadhishtitasya. Prananam
upapadyate.
What he says, Atmana anadishtitasya prananam upapadyate. He says, if prana is not supported by anadishtita, adhishtita means what now? Supported by, presided over by, blessed by. Adhishtita means what now? It is not backed by. So, Atmana anadhishtita means what now? If the prana is not supported by the Atma, then Pranasya Pranana Samarthyam Nasyat. Prana will be incapable of functioning as Prana. Pranasya Pranana Samarthyam Asti. Now Prana is capable of functioning as Prana. Why? Because Atmana Adhishtitaha, being supported by, backed by what now? Atma. Anadhishtitasya, if Prana is Anadhishtitaha, Pranaha Anadhishtitaha Syat, if Prana is not supported by, backed by Atma, then Prana wouldn't be capable of functioning as Prana. Therefore, what now? Atma, the consciousness, is the Pranasya Pranaha. Okay? That's why many he is. Always the na comes initially. Nahi, Atmana anadishtitasya prananam upapadyate. It is not tenable, it is not possible for the prana to function as prana if the prana is not backed by, supported by, Atma. Then what happens now? Shankara quotes from other Upanishads. Mainly, he first quotation is from Taittiriya Upanishad. Kohyevan Kaha
Hi
Yeva Kohyeva. Okay, Kaha
Hi
Yeva
Anyat
Kaha Pranyadi Pranyad Yad Yeshaha. See, Kaf Pranyat. Kaf Pranyat. The meaning is for Kaha. See, no? Kaha.
He.
Yeva. Anyat. Kaha Pranyat Yad Yeshaha
Akashaha
Anandaha Nasyat. And he quotes in this context, Shankara quotes from Taittiriya Upanishad. What he says, Anandaha Nasyat. Anandaha Nasyat means what now? If Atma is not there. Anandaha implies what now? Limitlessness. Limitlessness implies consciousness. Consciousness implies what? Atma. Okay? Anandaha, the word. Yadi anandaha nasti. We can say what now? The potential link is used to nasyat. If Atma, yadi Atma nasyat. Anandaha nasyat. If Atma is not there, if consciousness is not there, what is consciousness? He gives one more word, Akashaha. Akashaha also means what here? Atma only, consciousness only. See, in Taittiriya quotation, there are two words, Akashaha, Anandaha. Akasha, Anandaha. Atma, consciousness also is said to be Akasha. You have to understand. Generally, Akashaha means space. So we are going to something out of the subject, okay? We are going to the understanding of Taittiriya now. Akashaha means literally space. But consciousness also is called Akashaha. You know why? Asamantat kashate iti Akashaha. Kashate means shines. Asamantat kashate means what now? That which shines everywhere is Akashaha. So, Akashaha, space is all pervasive, you can say Akashaha. What about consciousness? Consciousness also is everywhere. It shines everywhere, as everything. Therefore, what? Consciousness also can be indicated by the term what? Akasha. That which pervades everything. Akashaha means all pervasive. If Akasha is said to be all pervasive, actually that which pervades Akasha, the all pervasive Akasha, should be also what now? Akasha only. Akashasya Akashaha. Isn't it? Therefore, Atma, the consciousness, is Akashaha, okay? And Akashaha Anandaha. Consciousness, the all-pervasive consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, actually Atma, consciousness is indicated by these two words, Atma and Akashaha and Anandaha. Akasha Anandaha Nasyat. If Atma is not there, if consciousness is not there, Kaha Pranyat. Anyat, Kaha Pranyat. Who will breathe? Will there be prana? You know, again, prana is there, prana is breathing in, breathing out, prana is doing everything. Prana is functioning, you say. Kaha Pranyat. Who will breathe in? Who will breathe out? How is it possible if Atma is not there? It is said where? That is said in Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmananda Valli. Koheva. Okay. I had to put the swara on and look at it correctly. Kaha hi eva anyat. Kaha eva anyat. Kaha eva pranyat. Who will breathe in? Who will breathe out? Who will inhale, who will do all the physiological functions, if Akasha Anandaha Nasyat, if Atma is not there. Therefore, this quotation is for what now? This quotation also says, the Pranana Samarthyam is because of Atma. Therefore, my answer is what now? Pranasya Pranaha. That Prana is what now? It means the consciousness. Because of which alone prana is capable of functioning as prana. Have you got it? See, this class, you may think lots of repetitions. It is all for you to ascertain. But I'm thinking of dictating some notes for all of you. So that you won't miss anything here. You will really get the correct understanding. Iha.
Okay, sorry, I missed
the word. Urdham pranam unnayati apanam pratyagasyati ityadi shrutibhyah. Okay, now Shankara quotes other quotation, other mantra from Kathopanishad. The first quotation is from Taittiriya, second quotation is from Kathopanishad. What does he say? In Kathopanishad also, Urdhvam Pranam Unnayati. Urdhvam Pranam Unnayati. That which makes the prana go up. Unnayati lifts up. That which lifts the prana up. Unnayati means what now? Lifts up. In the people who speak Sanskrit, they say Unnayani means lift. In Sanskrit, better learn this word. Unnayani, lift. So I can ask Radhanji, Unnayani, Unnayani karyam karoti, Unnayani karma karoti va. Does Unnayani function? Unnayani means lift. Unnayati is a verb. Nayati means carries, leads. Carries, leads. But unnayati means what now? Uttu plus nayati, unnayati. Lifts up. Elevates. Elevator. Unnayani. Isn't it? So elevates. So what is it which elevates means what here? What is that which makes the prana go up? Urdham unnayati. Go up. What is that which makes the prana go up? Pranam urdhum unnayati. Apanam pratyagasyati. What is it which makes the apana move downwards? What is it which makes the prana go upwards? What is it which makes the prana function? It is the Atma. It is the Atma which makes the prana go upwards. It makes the apana go downwards. So that quotation also says what now? That also an explanation for my answer, pranasya pranaha. What another explanation for my answer, pranasya pranaha? Kaha anyat, kaha pranyat, who will breathe in, who will breathe out, etc. From Taittiriya. Yadi Akashaha Anandaha Nasyat. If Akashananda Atma is not there, who will do this? It is the Atma which alone makes the prana go up, apana go in. Pratyagasyati. Ityadi Shrutibhyaha. Ityadi Shrutibhyaha means what? Now, from these Shruti statements also, oh my student, you understand the same meaning what I have given you in this Upanishad. Because Upanishad always is considered the most authentic source, isn't it? Any answer, see, Shankara makes his, he gives relative answers, see, even though you have not studied Uptaitriyam. When you read this Bhashyam, you also understand the relevant mantra and other Upanishads. It is as good as studying other Upanishads. In this the particular context, at least you will remember, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What is relevant verse from, relevant mantra from other Upanishad? Mm-hmm. Atma being the prana of the prana is also said in Taittiriyam. In which context? Kav pranyat, kaha anyat, kaha pranyat, akasha anandaha nasyat. What is Mundaka, the Katopanishad thing? No, kaha, no? Apranam unnayati. Urdham pranam unnayati, apanam, no, pratyagasyati. These all the state quotations. Iti shrutibhyaha, from these shruti quotations, from these shruti statements also, we understand the same answer. Is it clear?
Yes, thank you.
Iha picha. Bhakshyate yena pranaha praniyate tadeva brahma tvam vidhi. He quotes one more thing. Iha apicha bhakshyate. He is going to say in the same Upanishad also, what now, later on he is going to say this, what now, yena pranaha praniyate, that by which the prana is activated. As prana, tadeva brahma, that is what is Brahman. Tvam vidhi, may you understand that to be Brahman, because of which prana functions. It's going to come later on, the same Upanishad. Iti, okay, shrotradi. Okay, it's the next topic. Completely different topic comes. Not different topic, different thing is going to be asked. So he gives three quotations, Shankara, to make it clear what exactly is his answer is inconformative with what is said in the same Upanishad later on, what is said in Taittiriya, what is said in Mundaka. So he quotes three, he gives three quotations. Everywhere it is said, what is implied is, it is the pure consciousness which is the Atma, which is the Self. Consciousness is the Atma, and is because of consciousness alone, the prana functions as prana. Because without consciousness, prana would be as good as non-existent. The functioning, we cannot have the status of being the prana. The pranatvam, isn't it, is not possible without the Atma. That is what is my answer. So why he has to, what is, because he wanted the distinctive features of the Atma. Distinguishing features. He wanted the teacher to define the Atma with distinctive features, that he would be able to understand the Atma correctly. Even though his answer, he gave the answer to the question, but that answer was not very revealing for him. So the student was asking, what exactly is the meaning of the second word in each sentence? And he said that because of which that has the status of being what it is. Is what is Atma. Therefore, my answer is correct. Is it clear now? My answer is correct. My answer is not inappropriate. And then he gave why he cannot give a better answer than that also. He explained earlier itself. See, what are subtle points you have understood here? Subtle thing what you have understood here is, there is Atma, which is consciousness, and which is distinct, but not distant. It's not distant, but it's distinct means what? Definitely, it is not any of the, it's not an integral part of, or the, you know, any of the composite things. It negated all of them. And what is it? And it, so this mainly he said it is not even, you know, it is not the, when he said composite, it's not an integral part of any composite entity, and he said innermost. And innermost also, when he said, he made it very clear, it always is possible for the one to mistake the sukshma for the self. Therefore, why I'm repeating this here, because every word he goes on now, prana se prana, manasaha manaha, etc. Now the granam is going to talk some, he's going to come with new objection. So the new objection and the new answer, everything we'll see in the next class. Is it okay? Even though such a simple point that is, you may think, we're all grown up people. We know the subject object difference, all these things. But even it's a simple question, but how Shankara thinks and how he brings it to the knowledge of the student. In fact, if we want to be very clear in our expressions, and our communication must be very precise. And if a communication has to be very precise, thinking itself must be precise. The thinking is not precise, communication cannot be precise. If both had to be refined, means then the both are refined, thinking and communication are, you know, really refined, means then they can be precise. And you are precise means you are more expressive. Be always, you are more expressive, very clear in expressions if you are precise. Isn't it? And for which Bhashyam study helps. See, mind goes into all these things. You can forget anything. See, if this, it is also sort of, initially my thing is intellectual pleasure. Because this also takes attention, total attention. When you start thinking the way Upanishad thinks, the Bhashyam present subject matter, your attention is totally held because you try to understand what is being said there. Where is attention? Attention is totally taken away from you. Your attention is totally held by what is being discussed here. There, because you put all attention totally there, attention is not available for anything else. In the sense, then what happens? You forget yourself. The total... See, always, how much is my attention there in something? To say, the 100% attention is there in something means, that is the point where you forget yourself. That is, when you forget yourself, ahankara is temporarily resolved. Whenever ahankara is temporarily resolved, there is no pain. That painlessness is called sukham, that is called pleasure. What is pleasure? And here also what now? It can be intellectual pleasure also. Of course, the aim is moksha. Discovery of nitya mukti, which is already there. Discovery of the freedom, which is already there, is the aim. Not that which is real happiness. But in studying Shastram, this is also intellectual pleasure. If intellectual pleasure can overpower you, becomes dominant in you, your desire for intellectual pleasure becomes dominant, and it's easy for you to escape, easy for you to ignore your sensory pleasures. How can I manage my desire for sensory pleasures? See, any pleasure is, some pleasure or the other is a must. Pleasure is always a must. Why I'm saying must? Because you cannot live with the it is not possible for one to live a life without any pleasure at all. A life will become very, very, of course, artha is there, isn't it? Artha pursuit is, there's a must. But it becomes drain, it will drain your energy. Artha pursuit will drain your energy. It make you feel fatigued and tired. That is why it is also equally important. See, the artha pursuit is inevitable. It is a necessity. Not a necessary, necessity actually. Therefore, when it makes you feel tired and fatigued and bored, these things, some change is a must. And the change is what actually we call pleasure. That is why we are naturally given to three types of pleasures. Intellectual pleasure, aesthetic pleasures, and also sensory pleasures. It is very natural. And any pleasure, if you analyze, any pleasure is desirable, becomes desirable for you. And sometimes the pleasure becomes, enjoyment of pleasure becomes necessity for you. And when you are not able to, you know, manage your desire for pleasures, and that is when we become completely very, very disturbed. That is a mental disturbance. Desire for pleasures is very natural. So wanting to enjoy pleasure, nothing problem, no problem. But we are not able to manage our desire for pleasures, the need for pleasures. How can I manage? Isn't it? So what happens, this is why we say, okay, you can't totally avoid the pleasures. What is it that is good for you? Which pleasure is better? Aesthetic pleasure is much, much, again, better. But aesthetic pleasure, to enjoy, to have, appreciate the aesthetic pleasures also, one needs to have lots of inner leisure and very highly sensitive one must be. We are not subtle enough to appreciate, to enjoy sensitive aesthetic pleasures. Just seeing the tree, there's lots of leaves in it. You're able to derive pleasure means, what is this? What do I see? I don't see any. Means it is there, your, how you see is different, isn't it? So now a musician comes and sings a song. If you have ear for music, you have enjoyed. If you don't have ear for music, oh my God, you will feel so, you will get suffocated in that presence of the concert sitting there. You will get away and go away. Get up and go away. It depends upon whether you have ear for that, isn't it? Similarly, you must be inclined for that, isn't it? So enjoyment of aesthetic pleasures depends upon the person's, how subtle the person is. The grosser you are, you will go for the grossest things. Any pressure, some pressure is a must always. How gross you are, how subtle you are, how subtler you are. In keeping with that, you will go for those pleasures. And intellectual pleasures, actually, can become, the desire for intellectual pleasure is becomes dominant. You can always manage your desire for sensory pleasures. It is manageable. But desire for intellectual pleasure must become dominant. Then you can manage your desire for sensory pleasures. Because if you analyze what is any pleasure? Any pleasure is a totally, object must hold your attention totally. Then you forget yourself. Ahankara is resolved. When ahankara is resolved, there is no dukkham. That absence of dukkham due to the temporary resolution of the ahankara, I sense, is called pleasure. But you need an object. Even though it is not from the object, it is your own being, surfacing of your own being, fullness for a length of time. So it seems to be a fraction. You get what I'm saying? In the Bhashya study, will help you have more of intellectual pleasure. It will help you overcome your desire for sensory pleasures. I'm not saying it will make you a totally rock or anything. It will help you overcome your desire, manage your desire for sensory pleasures. It will help you have more of intellectual pleasures. But every time you listen to the Bhashyam, of course, I wish you all understand. I can speak to you only in Sanskritam so that I can make you see how beautiful it is. I'm trying my best. I'm 100%, I'm sure no other teacher, okay, can make it simpler than this in English. I know what it is, teaching Bhashyam in English. Our Swamiji, of course, is different. He's a different person, isn't he? He did it. You get what I'm saying? Because it holds your attention. How it makes you think, provided you're understanding it. Simple things are taken for discussion and elaborate on it. Throw more light in it. That is how Upanishad study helps you have the more and more of intellectual pleasure. In fact, the greatest intellectual pleasure. It's a byproduct, apart from jnana. Knowledge and moksha, that's a different thing, isn't it? That is the aim. It also blesses you with this. It completely holds it. The main thing, it contributes for your thinking, refinement in thinking and communication. And also, it helps you manage your desire for sensory pleasures. It has to become dominant. Is it clear? Saraswati, all Medha Shakti becomes sharpened. Is it okay, Richardji?
Yes, thank you, Swamiji. Very good, thank you.
Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Have you got any questions from what I have said today in the class?
What are your aesthetic pleasures?
There's no aesthetic pleasure also is based on intellectual pleasure. Based on intellectual pleasure. Aesthetic pleasure is not possible.
No, absolutely.
Because without intellectual, decipher intellectual pleasures also. And there is different topic, it has nothing to do with Upanishad here, okay? I just wanted to tell you in the context of, because I want to tell you how the Bhashyam is little, Bhashyam, standard of Bhashyam is different from, differs from the other Upanishads to Katha and Mundaka. And from here, the Upanishad, the Bhashyam standard becomes little higher and greater.
See, this is what, if I have a question from today, is this perplexity about, you see, whenever the Purva Pakshi asks the question, already that raises one's own level. You know, you think, oh my God, I never even thought to ask that question. In this one, yes, okay, same, I never thought to ask that question. But then I'm thinking, well, I wouldn't have thought to ask that question anyway because it's such a... Why is he asking this question? Because it seems that the answer seems pretty obvious. So, now I'm thinking, there must be something more to his question than appears on the surface. But he can't be just asking about grammar, is what I'm thinking. But maybe he is, I don't know. Because it seems like, well, so this one word out of four is in the
objective.
Accusative case. So
other words, sir.
And anyway, you know, the you know, that which is associated with the genitive case is always in nominative anyway, you know. The boy's book will always be nominative. So if it's accusative, then there must be something to do with the meter or the rhythm or the chandas or whatever, you know. As you say, the simple answer is chandas, you know. But, and so, I'm thinking, why is this person...
No, Shankara, the answer, he talks about
the... intelligent question. Suddenly ask this question which doesn't offer this answer.
But there's no such person as a Purva Paksha.
No, Shankara mentions in his answer that particularly he says, you know, this he wanted to bring in this subject object predicate thing also. That's why. This is on, isn't it? He's the one who questions, he's the one who answers.
Yeah.
Okay?
That answer about the predicate and subject thing, I thought it was brilliant. I mean, you know, as that answer was being given, as you say, the mind just became sharper. Oh my God, how precise the linguists